Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of News You Can Use right here on WTIC News Talk 1080. I'm Ann Baldwin, and we've got another powerhouse in the house this morning, and I'm so excited to introduce you to Lena Lee. And Lena is the new executive director of the Connecticut Bar Association. So thank you for being here. I really appreciate it, Lena. We got so much to talk about.
Thank you so much for having me. So happy to be here.
So when did you start with the Connecticut Bar Association, and how did they find you, Lena?
Well, I just started actually right after New Year's, so just a month ago, and I am originally from New York, specifically Queens, and they found me because my background is in civil rights litigation, and they wanted to bring in someone that really specialized in that expertise, and also someone who knows the community and also knows how to serve the people at providing legal services.
So you are an attorney.
I am.
So tell us a little bit about your background. When did you decide that you wanted to be a lawyer?
Oh. Well, I was born and raised in Queens, and I was really, you know, embedded in the neighborhoods that I grew up in. My family, my parents, grandparents were really engaged with the community. They were working in nonprofits. They were in the community serving other people. And at a very young age, I really felt that the people that I grew up with really didn't need the law. You know, everyone did what was right. Everyone worked really hard. You know, they came from families that really protected the neighborhoods on their own. They didn't need the law enforcement. They didn't need the legal protections. And then, you know, bad things happen to good people. And in one situation, I had my grandfather, who was actually working for a nonprofit at that time, and he, you know, saw some things that were, you know, shouldn't be happening. And he saw some embezzling of money, and he saw some lies. And he really called that out to the public. And when that happened, he was terminated and, you know, lost his job. And at that point, my, you know, grandfather really just became very silent and stayed away from a lot of the work that he was doing in the nonprofits and the community service. And I, at that moment, I thought, you know, this is something that I need to do. This is something I need to change. Mm-hmm. And when bad things happen to good people, that's when the law really steps in. And so I went to law school. I went to Boston University School of Law, and I came back to the community that I grew up in, and I started working there as a public service attorney. And I have spent my entire legal career, you know, really fighting for working class families.
You know, what you just said, Lena, is so powerful because good things or bad things happen to good people. You always, you know, there's this perception out there, you need a lawyer when you're in trouble, right? When you've done something wrong.
Right.
But sometimes it's the reverse of that. And to have that mindset, like, let's, now we've got the whistleblower. So if your mm-hmm. grandfather had done that today, he probably would be, you know, in a different situation than he was back then. Right? Because things have changed because of people like you. So what drew you from Queens, New York to come to Connecticut and be the head of the Connecticut Bar Association, which, by the way, is going to be celebrating its 150th anniversary. That's a
yes.
big deal. Now, we'll make very clear, you haven't been here for 150 years. You're brand new. But what drew you to the Connecticut Bar Association here in Connecticut?
Sure. So, you know, after I, you know, started practicing in Queens, I really embraced my position, and I actually started my own legal services, and I grew that legal services to 30 attorneys, and I was serving over 4,000 households across New York City, and this was really in affordable housing work. And the work that we did, you know, again, is very relatable. It's protecting a home. It's protecting a family. But what we were up against were very large, and usually large faceless companies and developers that came in to push out people who have been living there for a very long time and really just for profit. And to give you a sense of the type of cases that we worked on, for example, we had a building with longstanding community members living inside, and their families grew up there. It was generations of families. And this developer comes in faceless. It's a big company, and they decide to push out illegally the residents that are living there. And they do this in very creative ways. In this case, they shut down an elevator and for indefinitely. And what that meant in a building like that, that had eight stories, was that those who are seniors, those who are disabled, who live on the top floors, cannot make their ways down. They cannot go to church. They cannot buy groceries. They cannot go see their doctors. And this was happening for months. And for families like this, you know, this is something very new. They have never had to face a large developer like this. And this is when we step in, and we did affirmative litigation cases, meaning that we are the ones who brought cases in a group against these large developers, because that is the only way that they can have a voice. And so, you know, really with that mentality, I grew this organization, and I have been doing that work for a very long time. And I decided that I really wanted to bring this passion to represent a community, a group. And what better group is there to represent than...
And how grateful do they have to be for that? But I want to know the end of the story. So what happened?
Oh, so we brought them to federal court, and we enforced the fair housing laws, and we made sure that the developer paid. We got the elevators working again. We put in accommodations, and we fought them nail and tooth until the end, and then they had to leave the tenants alone. But it took a lot of work. It took years, and that was just one way that they were trying to really get the tenants out and to make their livelihoods extremely hard so that they can move out on their own. Mm-hmm. And that was their way of illegally or legally trying to resell that apartment.
Wow, what a great story. But again, what a blessing that you came in there, because when you're in a situation like that, you feel helpless, you feel hopeless. I mean, some of these people have probably, like you said, because they're always doing the right thing, have never had to deal with this kind of thing and the law. And to have someone come in and step in and say, I've got your back, I can get you through this process. And how intimidating is it that it went all the way to federal court? But that means something on your end. So good for you.
Thank you.
Well, it's so exciting that you're here. And how many attorneys are involved in the Connecticut Bar Association? How many members do you have?
So the Connecticut Bar Association is the largest legal professional organization in Connecticut, and it is now 8,000 members. And this includes lawyers, judges, law students, and other legal professionals like paralegals or others who are interested in the law profession.
Right. So it's not just longstanding attorneys. You want to get some of the young blood in there. You want some of these people that are going to law school, or, you know, students that are thinking, maybe this is the career path that I want to take. I want to be a lawyer. So, you know, there's something in it for everybody, right? So what are some of the things that you do to entice people to get involved? And does it cost money to be a member?
It is a voluntary organization, and there is a low cost to be a member officially, but there are many ways to join, and we especially have programs that are geared towards really attracting students who cannot really afford a membership fee. But this organization is meant for and is really shaped by really the law students, the young attorneys, and those that are really shaping the legal profession to adjust to the changing societal needs, but also the changing laws. And so, you know, our job is to make sure that the legal profession has the same integrity, high standards, but also changing and prepared for the next generation. And so a lot of our programs, for example, Law Camp, is geared towards reaching out to students in high school, where they can be exposed at a very early age to the legal profession so that they know that this is an option, that this is something they can do, and they can grow their interest with the support of the CBA and its members who volunteer their time to really groom and to really help students as a resource.
You know, because mentorship in any career path, I think, is so important. I know in my television news days, I had mentors from, and it was in high school. I remember the day like it was yesterday. I was out with an old boyfriend, water skiing with his dad. He owned a radio station, and I said, I'm going to be in radio. And you know, radio turned into television, turned into my own business. And what a blessing it's been for me to have this career path, you know, to experience all the things in between that eventually made me my own business owner. But, you know, it's interesting, even for somebody like me, who's a bit seasoned, you know, I had my own bump in the road with a horrible lawsuit against an ex-business partner. It was, and I had a legal attorney, and this thing went on for 3 years. 3 years. And you know what that means, an attorney for 3 years, ching, ching, ching. And I'll never forget this day, and this is why I have such a big place in my heart for attorneys, especially this particular one, is we were in court one day, it was the last day, and he took me into the room and he says, here's what she's offering to pay you. Mm-hmm. And he goes, and you know what you owe me. And I said, yes, I do. He said, I'm not telling you to take the deal, but I want to tell you, you owe me nothing. Mm. Because for me, this has been a pro bono case, and I have sat back, and I have fought for you, and I've seen you fight for yourself. This is a win for you, and I want to be part of that. There was no charge. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it was just, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. But you know, there's good attorneys out there that are willing to help, that are willing to get involved. And I just think that that's, you know, that's just the case. These are good people. And part of what you go to law school, right, and your oath and your whole mission statement is to help people, help communities. Because without that, what would happen? And now we're in a changing world, right? Mm-hmm. And an association like the Connecticut Bar Association, this is what you guys do. You know, you keep your eye on the ball. What's going on today in the Supreme Court? What's going on at the White House? What's going on locally? So that you can keep your members up to date.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And put out statements and let people know where you're at. I mean, that's why having strength in numbers, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And you know, every individual lawyer that I have met, and I have met a lot of law students, I have met a lot of young attorneys, and a lot of, you know, very senior attorneys, and every single one of them went into the profession to help people. And that has just been a shocking revelation for me, because I also, even though I am an attorney, have this, you know, really understanding of the legal profession based on what I see on TV, based on what the horror stories that mm-hmm. you hear. But when you really talk to attorneys, you know, at the end of the day, what they really want to do is to help someone. And I think the CBA, we really want to collectively make that very clear to the community, because individually, yes, you know, there are days when we have very difficult cases and it's a very high pressure and high time consuming profession. And, you know, we are humans at the end of the day. And for us to make a livelihood, sometimes we take cases that are very challenging. Mm-hmm. But a lot of these same attorneys also give up a lot of their time and spend their energy really helping on these pro bono cases that the CBA really wants to expand and provide more opportunities for attorneys to volunteer, but also expand our reach in helping those who really do need free legal assistance.
So if you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Lena Lee, and attorney Lena Lee. I should give you that credit because you worked really hard for that. And she's the new executive director as of January 1st to the Connecticut Bar Association, which, again, this year is celebrating their 150th year. And if people are listening to this and they want to get involved and they want to know more, I mean, how do they do that? Where can they find more information on, I'm assuming you guys have events, you have outreach, you have all these things.
We do. And all of that information can be found on our website, which is the easiest way, ctbar.org. Mm-hmm. Or they can call one of us. Our numbers are all listed. Our emails are all listed. We do have major events coming up. The closest one is a Pathways to Leadership for Women ceremony event that we have coming up in March, and that's really to celebrate a lot of the women leaders in the profession. And then we are celebrating the 150th and doing a kickoff celebration during our Connecticut Legal Conference, which comes up in June. And you can register for that event. Registration will open on March 1st, and it will be open up until the day of the event. So you have plenty of opportunity to make sure that you're involved in helping and volunteering, or, you know, really just coming in as a member or non-member to be part of the discussions.
Right. You know, and one of the things that we talked about is the mentorship. And I haven't met an attorney yet that isn't willing to share their expertise, because, you know, these young people coming in today, you can't learn everything in the classroom. It's the hands-on, you know, in the courtroom, you know, hanging out, you know, going through files, going through folders. It's that on-the-job experience opportunity, whether it's an internship or shadowing. And if you've got what it takes, these people are willing to invest in you. are they not?
Absolutely. And mentorship is really key. And that's what the CBA really offers. It is that unofficial, it is that relationship building, and also just passing down wisdom and knowledge that young attorneys cannot really gain from law school. And it also opens up opportunities to those who may not have had the same access. So for example, and I talk about this a lot more, just women in the legal profession. And I think you see a lot of women in law school, but you don't see a lot of women in leadership positions. And there's reasons why. And part of that is that gap in mentorship. Mm. And the CBA offers that mentorship. And we really celebrate, but also we want to have discussions that really affect women and the barriers and challenges to really grow in a field that they have spent a lot of time and hard work in. And, you know, it's okay to have these conversations, especially in a large network where all women and face these same challenges. For example, even questions about, you know, just the pay compared to men, or even work-life balance, or even mental illness, or really the challenges of being a woman with no support or resources in a large firm. These numbers really show, you know, there's only maybe 10 to 20% of judges or law firm partners, or even those public service areas where women really are the leadership. And I think, you know, that is a clear signal to the CBA that we have to do more mm-hmm. to be more inclusive, to talk about these issues so that we can, you know, help more women become leaders in their field.
And that's what you need. You need that support group around you so that you can break through and know that it's okay. Know that it's okay to be assertive. Know that it's okay to push for what you want and to speak up, because I think in a lot of professions that's the problem. I want to ask you a question. Is one of the barriers to the legal profession the time and the money that it takes to go through law school? Do you think that is something that holds people back?
Absolutely. It's traditionally a very time invested field to get into. And once you're in it, it is also then a lot of pressure and a lot of time and a lot of money spent really excelling in the profession. And so, you know, we do a lot of work to try to remove some of those traditional barriers, whether it's providing scholarships, whether it's providing really educational programs that are free to younger students, reaching out to students at a very younger age and exposing them to these new opportunities that really do not charge or is at very low cost. And for us, that's really important that the legal profession really reflects the communities that we serve. And also, if you have someone who really wants to go to law school, they should be able to. And the CBA wants to be part of that support that helps them get there.
And there's so many great law schools here in the Northeast. It's just amazing. You know, what comes to mind is Quinnipiac Law School right here in
Absolutely.
Our backyard. And I think that some people, like you said, are intimidated. What's the average time that it does take for somebody to become an attorney?
It is 3 years officially, and you can do it in 2 years, but that's very rare. So it's 3 years that you have to spend not working and investing in your education.
Full time. It's
yes.
not one of these things that you can just say, hey, I'll waitress at night and go to law school.
I wish.
So, you know, but like anything, you got to kind of pay the price, right? Everybody, you just got, and 3 years, it's not a lot of time. In
it's
the whole scheme of thing, it's in the scheme of everything, it's not a lot of time.
It's not a lot of time, but for someone who has, for example, even a family to support, or if they have parents to support, or even their own livelihood, it is a lot of time, and mm-hmm. it is a huge investment and dedication.
So what's next for you? I know you just kind of getting your feet wet right now, but you're one of those people that you've hit the ground running. I can feel your energy and I can feel your commitment to community, and I really applaud that because, you know, to me, the Bar Association has been kind of quiet lately. You don't hear a whole lot, but I think that because of you, Lena, that's going to change very, very quickly. So what are your plans? I mean, I know, again, that you're just kind of getting started, but as you walk through that door, you've already moved your offices, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you moved from New Britain to Meriden?
That's correct.
Okay, and how's that going?
Oh, it's Meriden's beautiful place to be, and the office is brand new, and we set it up so that we can have a lot of large events there, and so we really hope that we can engage more with the attorneys and with the community who can really use the office as a community space.
That's great. So what, other than your event, you're going to really kind of focus on your 150th anniversary. But what else do you think that the Connecticut Bar Association, what role should they be playing in everybody's everyday lives?
Sure. So the Connecticut Bar Association, it really is not only the largest professional organization, but it is an organization that is here to really serve the community. And I want to make that very clear as the new executive director that we are here as attorneys, at least as legal professionals, that really want to provide the free legal services, that really want to connect with the community, provide the community services, and also educate the public on what is happening with the legal profession. And so we have been engaging a lot more and making statements that really reflect our values. And we are also trying to not only really celebrate the 150 years, but also shape the legal profession to what it's going to look like in the near future. And part of that is also engaging with the new changing technologies and what mm-hmm. that means for the legal profession. And the CBA is committed to making sure that its attorneys are really on the front lines of these changes and that these changes will not be a barrier, but also will help elevate and enhance the profession.
Well, that's AI that you're speaking
Absolutely.
Of, I'm assuming, and it's continuing education for all of us, right?
Yes.
I know it's had a huge, AI has had a huge impact on what we do here. Most of it in a good way, but there's also some downsides that people need to understand. You know, I can see you out there as a keynote speaker at a lot of organizations. I think people need to hear what you have to say. And so if you're looking for a good keynote speaker, right, are you up for that?
Absolutely.
There's a lot of organizations that have boring speakers, and you wouldn't be one of them. So, again, we're speaking with Attorney Lena Leaf, the new executive director of the Connecticut Bar Association. And we've just got a few minutes left, but this was a great, great conversation. I wouldn't ask you any tough questions, but I have one that's just always been on my mind, and I've been waiting to ask it. I guess my question is, sometimes I wonder how somebody can be a defense attorney when someone has done, obviously, I know it's innocent until proven guilty, something so bad,
mm-hmm.
but yet these attorneys stand up with all their energy and all their effort and defend them.
We do our jobs. Our job is to uphold the law, and that's what we do. We do that in the courtroom. We do that outside. And so when our clients, whether or not you may believe that they have done something or not, our job is to make sure that every person who walks into that courtroom is treated fairly and justly. And that's the job of the lawyer, that we make sure that the black law letters really make a difference and that every person has their rights and those rights are enforced. We don't make moral judgment calls in those courtrooms. That's not our job. Our position is to make sure that what we protect is the black letter law. And that really is what holds a system or a person accountable. It is what makes sure that every person is treated fairly and also the legal system is upheld with integrity. And so it's not an easy job. And sometimes it is very challenging because at the end of the day, lawyers are humans
mm-hmm.
and we have feelings too.
Mm-hmm.
But our profession and the good ones, we make sure that no matter who our client is, that we make sure that we are following the law. And I think that is a very difficult and challenging job sometimes, mm-hmm. but the good ones do it well.
Yeah, especially, like the public defenders, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, and it's not about winning or losing in that case because, the optics of that are already what the optics are. But I just had to ask that because I've always wondered, it's like my daughter was considering being an attorney and I said, as long as you're a prosecutor, I don't want you to be a defense attorney. Anyway, she ended up being a real estate agency, so I didn't have to
Well, that also has challenging days as well.
Oh, yes, very challenging. So what is your message to people out there is we welcome you and welcome to Connecticut, and I'm sure that we're going to see you around moving and shaking in all the right places. What is your message to people out there when it comes to the landscape of our legal system as it stands today?
Absolutely. And I just want to say thank you. And really, I have been feeling so welcomed, not only by the CBA, but by Connecticut. And it's really because people have really extended a hand and has really brought me into support system. And I have met people who are so dedicated to their field and so enthusiastic to really engage and help and give back. And those are really values that I have been upholding. And so it was very easy for me to connect with like-minded people here. And the future of CBA is going to look very large and bright. We have a lot of work to do, and there's a lot of things going on around the CBA, whether it's a local, state, or federal level, that the CBA can really help shape what the legal profession will look like and respond to. And I think that the larger community deserves to have a legal professional organization speaking up for them and also engaging with the community to make sure that everyone is educated and also engaged with what is really protecting their livelihoods.
Well, hats off to your board of directors and everybody who made the decision to hire you, because I'm sure it was a national search, right? And for someone like you to emerge from that says a lot about you.
Oh, thank you.
So congratulations. I never say good luck. It's not about it's not about luck. It's about continued success. And let me tell you, you are going to see this lady around our state of Connecticut a lot. So attorney Lena Lee, executive director of the Connecticut Bar Association, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate it. And you can go to ctbar.org if you want more information and why not get involved in a big birthday, 150 years for the Connecticut Bar Association. So thank you again. And thanks to all of you for tuning in to this edition of News You Can Use right here on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from PUC examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.